Hello, I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine. Welcome back to another episode of the Mobility Management Podcast. And today I'm happy to welcome Don Clayback, the executive director of NCART, and McKay Lee, NCART's associate director. Don and McKay are back to give us our quarterly update on the complex rehab technology industry and to update us on what NCART has been up to since the last time we chatted. Don and McKay, welcome back to the podcast, and once again, thanks for joining me.
Yeah,
great, Lori.
It's great to be here again. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you've been experiencing day to day at NCART, but from what I've been hearing and what I've been living through, it feels like when the calendar changed from winter to spring, the complex seating and mobility industry just accelerated. And I've been hearing that after months of some relative isolation and a slowdown for many businesses, it feels as if everything has started moving all at once now. And it sounds like after more than a year of the COVID pandemic, of course, being front and center of every conversation, it feels like, it now feels like people are starting to move forward and to really emerge from this COVID-19 landscape. So this sounds like a great time to catch up on what NCART is focusing on for this second quarter of 2021. So let's start by talking about CRT manual wheelchair accessories, because currently I know we've got a June 30th deadline to deal with. That's when the current suspension of Medicare competitive bidding related payment cuts expires if additional interventions aren't in place by then. So what is the current status of that CRT manual wheelchair accessories funding policy?
That's a great question, Lori. And first, again, thanks for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity to provide an update to all your listeners, and it's a great way to get the messages out there and I think make sure everybody stays engaged. This issue, I think, really is our number one priority, again, because of the urgency. As you mentioned, the June 30th deadline, for folks that may need just a little reminder that we did get an 18-month suspension of Medicare applying competitive bidding rates to complex rehab manual wheelchair accessories. And the plan was that 18 months would give us time to work through a permanent change with CMS, just like CMS did back in 2017 for power wheelchair accessories. Unfortunately, as we all know, last year was COVID-19 focused. Although we did have some conversations with CMS, they were certainly tied up with those variety of issues. And as we moved into this year with the elections, we had new leadership at HHS and CMS. HHS Secretary Becerra was only recently confirmed, and that took several months. So with him in place, that certainly provided some leadership, but the CMS administrator is yet to be confirmed. Administrator Brooks LaSure is expected to be confirmed actually this week. And once she's in place, then finally the HHS and CMS leadership team will be complete. And then they'll be able to make decisions. So what we're focused on is generating conversations around the urgency and the need for some action to be taken prior to the July 1st deadline. So Congressman Jaron Larson, who's been our lead in the House of Representatives, has reached out to HHS. We have conversations with the Administration for Community Living to get their support, and they've weighed in with CMS. We also have been working with our consumer group partners, and they are going to be sending out a letter to CMS this week, again, echoing that message that some action needs to be taken prior to June 30th. So time is ticking. We're aware of that. We've got several irons in the fire. We also have created a position paper that outlines what our ask is, and if someone wants additional information, they can check out the website and get that document, the one-pager, that'll give them an updated background paper, and we're going to be pursuing that literally, you know, on a day-by-day basis. So we'll keep folks updated as we move ahead and hopefully have some resolution before we get to the end of June.
Okay, great. We will keep an eye on that because, as you said, the June deadline is coming up faster than probably it feels like. So I know another pandemic-related topic has been telehealth, and that's an issue that has gotten so much attention, and it's an option that absolutely Complex Rehab wants to retain going forward. So of special concern for CRT is making sure that our PTs and OTs can continue to bill for telehealth sessions that they conduct. So can you update us on the current efforts to preserve the telehealth option going forward?
Yeah, absolutely, Lori. And like you said, it's rare to hear a CRT discussion taking place these days that doesn't address telehealth in some fashion. It's just definitely one of those topics that's on the table right now. And the latest on that is that in March, the Expanded Telehealth Access Act, or H.R. 2168, was introduced in the House of Representatives by Representatives Mickey Sherrill and David McKinley. The good thing about this particular bill and why it's especially important is that it not only contains provisions that do expand access to telehealth services as they were throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, but it specifically adds physical and occupational therapists as permanently authorized telehealth practitioners, which is exactly what we're hoping to do for Complex Rehab. Now, a much broader telehealth bill has also been introduced in the Senate. That one is called the Connect for Health Act of 2021. And this bill is led by Senators Brian Shantz and Roger Wicker. And it's based on similar legislation that had actually been introduced last year and then was reintroduced in this session of Congress. And the good news is that it does have good, broad, bipartisan support. It's been endorsed by a significant number of national associations. But the bad news is that this bill doesn't specify the inclusion of physical and occupational therapists like H.R. 2168 does. So we've been discussing with our congressional champions, staying close to that issue as well. And, you know, it kind of sums up exactly where we're at. We know that Congress is taking a hard look at continued telehealth access. They've seen the benefits, and they're very interested in continuing those. But making sure that PTs and OTs are included in whatever final telehealth legislation that Congress does pass is going to require national advocacy. So that's why we've set up our email system at protectmymobility.org so that CRT advocates can contact their members of Congress. It takes less than 5 minutes to ask that, you know, they support and pass legislation that does include PT and OTs in the telehealth expansion. So we are certainly encouraging folks to go check out the site, protectmymobility.org, to send their emails to Congress. Lori, I know that you are an avid user of that site. You've been there many times and can probably speak to what a quick and easy process that is.
I'm a huge fan of that system. It really does. When you say it takes less than 5 minutes, that's if 5 minutes if you're also drinking your coffee and having a conversation. I mean, if you focus in, you can get it done in way less than 5 minutes. So absolutely, that's a great system, and I think it's really important. It sounds like everyone's talking about telehealth, and it can be easy to maybe think, oh, okay, so that situation has been handled, nothing to worry about. But as you said, it's really important that we make sure that feeding teams are included on that. So thank you, McKay, for making that distinction. I know it's an important one. My next question is about power seating, elevation, and standing. And I know that the ITEM Coalition and NCART have been driving forces in the ongoing effort to convince Medicare to provide coverage for those positioning options. So where do those efforts stand, and what has NCART been doing to contribute to that conversation?
Great question, Lori. And certainly, as you said, this is an important area for consumers in terms of the benefits of power seat elevation and power standing. It's been a long-term industry goal, and we're happy that there's significant progress being made, although we certainly have some more work to do as we move ahead through the rest of this year. NCART's collaboration with the ITEM Coalition is continuing. It brings together consumers, clinicians, and the other industry stakeholders, all focused on getting Medicare coverage for power seat elevation and standing. The several things have been going on relative to activities. The ITEM work group was able to meet with Medicare's chief medical officer, and we were able to share with him on an overview level what the technology is and the benefits that it would deliver to Medicare beneficiaries who would qualify. We also are working with the clinician group in gathering additional evidence, and we also are working with a industry group around the coding area, because we know coding is going to be important once the coverage is actually approved on the Medicare side. The next step that we're waiting for is from CMS is that they'll be announcing shortly the NCD, or the National Coverage Determination, which is the overall policy. They'll be announcing that that's open for formal reconsideration, and there'll be a 30-day public comment period. ITEM and NCART will be supplying information as soon as that happens, because what we'll want to do is have groups submit supportive comments to the Medicare program, highlighting why this should be covered and the benefits that will be delivered once it actually is approved. There will be an opportunity for people to share their individual stories, and this will give CMS an opportunity to hear from the public what their perception and perspective is on these coverages. We are looking for advocates to stay updated. If they'd like to sign up for alerts, they can go to the NCART website, ncart.us, and this is one of the topics that we do issue regular alerts on. We're happy to keep people engaged, and we're cautiously optimistic that as we move through our work with CMS, thanks to all the advocates that are involved, we'll be successful in getting these important items covered.
Well, that's really good news. Congratulations, because that's really exciting. I know that that's been on your radar and something that you and the ITEM Coalition and a number of other industry advocates and organizations have been working on. You talked about your websites. I wanted to now transition into a more general update, because it does really feel to me as if we were sort of going along at a slower pace than normal, and then at the start of 2021, as we entered the spring, everything just sort of took off. So I wanted to start this sort of general update portion by mentioning that you've launched two redesigned websites since we last spoke. NCART.us, which is your more CRT industry-focused site, as well as AccessToCRT.org, which is more consumer and advocacy-focused, have both relaunched with brand new designs, and I was playing around on both of the sites. Personally, I think that they're great to navigate. It's so easy to find what I'm looking for right away. So first of all, my compliments on those updates. Mm-hmm. And then I also wanted to check in on your advocacy plans and your show event plans for the rest of the year. So are you attending any upcoming events in person? Do you have any plans to do that? And what else do we need to know as we head into the summer?
First of all, Lori, thank you so much for mentioning the websites. We spent a lot of time developing the new sites, and we worked with Forbin for that. They just did an excellent job bringing our ideas to life. So obviously, we're very excited to share the new resources and tools, and certainly hope that other people find them as easy to navigate as you do. So thanks for bringing those up, because we did put a lot of effort into those. Anyway, back to the topic of upcoming events. This is a particularly exciting question for me, because we have truly missed being able to see our CRT family over the course of the last year. It just feels like it's been ages since we've been able to catch up with folks. And that's one of the things that I think we all really enjoy about our industry, is just how much like family and friends we are. But as you said, things are definitely picking back up now, and NCART is planning to be at a number of both virtual and in-person events between now and the end of the year, which it is hard to believe that it's almost June, but I won't get started on that. Virtually, we'll be attending and supporting United Spinal's annual roll on Capitol Hill this June. Of course, ResMed's annual conference is scheduled for July, and that's also virtual this year, so we'll be a part of that. As far as in-person events, our first in-person events are going to include things like the Abilities Expos and Heartland later in August and September timeframes. We're also working with a planning committee right now to develop our own virtual CRT fly-in along with our annual CRT Awareness Week later this year. So people can definitely be on the lookout for those details very soon, and we'll be sharing those via our NCART emails. And there'll be some information on the sites and things like that. So folks can stay in touch and then just keep eyes open for what's coming up. It's going to be a great summer leading into the fall, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, absolutely. I miss everybody so much, and I'm really looking forward to being able to see people face-to-face again. One of the things I love about your websites, too, is that the NCART.us website has a navigation bar where you can click on federal issues and state issues, and I can't say enough about your websites.
Well, thank you.
We will look forward to hearing more about your virtual and in-person events, and then before we wrap up, I wanted to also check in on NCART's membership campaign because I know we spoke about it the last time you joined us on this podcast. So I wanted to ask how it's going, and I also wanted to ask if we could give a shout-out or any applause to any new NCART members since we last spoke.
Great, Lori. Thanks for that. And yes, we're very happy to report we've got five new members that we brought on so far this year. As you said, and we appreciate the coverage in terms of our need for new members on our last podcast, the members themselves really are what enable us to do the advocacy work that we're talking about today. As you know, there's an awful lot of things going on, whether it be at the federal level or the state level. And one of the things that either enables us or makes it more difficult is the level of resources we have. So our membership support is really the lifeblood for the organization. So we thank our historic members, and we thank our five new members that have joined. And also, we put that invitation out that we know there's other leaders in the industry that are dedicated to CRT access, and we're continuing to reach out to them to share the NCART story, and ideally to set up a conversation so we can explain what NCART is all about and the benefits of supporting NCART both for their business and then also their ability to serve their customers. So I would encourage anyone who would like information, you could certainly go to the website at ncart.us. We have a membership section that will give you more details, or I'm happy to talk individually to anyone if they want to reach out through the website, and we can set up a call to talk about that in more detail. So happy with our progress and hoping to bring on some more folks as we move ahead.
Well, the membership update is great news, and anyone who's thinking about joining NCART who's not already a member, I would think that this chat that we just had is very encouraging and shows exactly where your funds are going, what you're investing in, because I know, for instance, the power standing and the power seat elevation funding, I mean, that's been a long-haul campaign. And I know that so many of the things that NCART works on and other industry organizations as well, because I know you have a lot of partner organizations, this is not something that you work on it for 6 weeks and it gets resolution and it's finished and you can put it in the finished pile and then you never, ever have to go back. I know that this is a long haul and sometimes it can get probably a little frustrating or a little discouraging, but it sounds like from this chat, absolutely they're making a difference and we can actually see how there are bills being introduced, there are reconsiderations coming up. So thank you so much for your work on that. I love, as always, catching up with you to better understand NCART's priorities and to understand your major projects on your radar for the quarter as well. And please come back in the third quarter so that we can have another chat. If you'd like to do that, I'd love to have you.
Yeah, that would be great, Lori. Thanks so much.
Great, Lori. Yes, we'd be very happy to join you, and we want to thank you and Mobility Management again for not just today's podcast, but for all the work you guys do during the year. As you know better than anybody, you know, an informed community is critical to the advocacy work that we do. So thank you personally, and thank the magazine for all the coverage you do, not just for NCART, but for everyone else in the industry.
Well, my thanks to Don Clayback and McKay Leaf from NCART for their time with us today. Mobility Management podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. The best way to make sure you don't miss any of our new podcasts is to subscribe. And you can also go onto our website at mobilitymgmt.com to listen to us there. Thank you very much for listening to this episode, and we'll be back again soon.